Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If a parent is given information, like you could go to the Barnes & Noble and read 20 books on nutrition. If you give that parent wisdom, experience, This is how I feel. I think I'm fine as I've been working out my whole life. Maybe the parent was an athlete in college. And then you experience what it's like to be on whole food nutrition, to have fruits and veggies, 20 fruits and veggies in your body. You don't ever go back. It's a very simple example. If you always get B's in your life, you're only used to B's. Once you get an A, you never want a B because having an A is freaking spectacular.
Right? How you dare? I'm a little under the weather today, so my voice sounds like this. But today's episode is with Katrina and Erica Thompson, and we are talking about food. Oftentimes, we put stuff in our mouth. We don't even understand where they came from or why we should factor in the ingredients before we eat them. And in today's episode, we dive into why you should do that, why you should make that a habit. I know it's the first month of the year, and many times one of the most popular goals is to lose weight, to be more fit. But have you ever thought about food impacting your mind, and your mental health? That's exactly what we talk about today. So I hope you enjoy the episode. I hope it causes you to reframe how you look at food. And I hope some of you take her up on her offer to actually coach you through your diet and through some of your shopping techniques. She's got some cool ideas on making your meal a full, balanced, and healthy diet. Hope you enjoy. And hopefully next time you hear my voice, I won't be so sick. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is the lovely Katrina Thompson. We met on Instagram, and I've been learning a lot about her story. And she is on fire for inspiring kids to be healthier. I'm really, really fascinated by this because we are starting the new year off with many resolutions, many goals. And one of the number one goals that people have every year is, how do I get healthier than the previous year? How can I change my life in such a way that I am healthy, body, mind, and soul?
Hi, thank you for having me. I so appreciate you having me on.
Well, the pleasure is mine. I know you from the little bit that we've talked on Instagram, but the audience doesn't, Katrina. Can you believe it? They don't even know you. So
I know, it's give crazy. Us...
So can you give us some insight? Tell us how you got to where you are today. Take us back. Peel the audience, peel the layers. Who is Katrina Thompson? What led you down this path of really being a health advocate?
Okay, well, let's get started. So my name is Katrina Thompson. I'm a special needs teacher. I'm an entrepreneur, and I am a mission-driven person. I work in schools to build a school climate and communities, develop health curriculum. It teaches our future generation the power of food, that food is medicine rather than taking medicine from pharmaceuticals or going to get Airborne or Sambuco or all these other things in our health stores. Why don't we just fix it from the source, preserve our body before it happens? And so in my eyes, when you put food into your body, it gives children the ability to focus in the classroom, to show love, to feel confident, to learn how to respect their body, and it allows children to build habits that are absolutely necessary in their adult lives. Imagine if we as adults learned this as a 4 and 5 year old and it was a habit for our life. That's how I was raised, and it transformed my life and really excelled me in my life.
That's so fascinating to me because you're right. I mean, when I'm thinking back to my early days, my youth, I sound like an old man. This isn't something we were taught, right? I don't think a lot of the emphasis has been on just how food can impact your productivity as a kid and really how you see yourself. So interesting for me to hear you say that. You say you go around to schools. What is it that you see in schools that could be fixed today?
I definitely think it's a mindset. I think the mindset of fixing issues before they become problems. So for example, as a special needs teacher, a lot of students with special needs have, you know, disabilities or, you know, deficits in certain areas. But we don't see what we can do in with our food. Imagine if the synapses going off in a child's brain was supported by, you know, clinical research about how food can help this child focus better, have better behaviors. The fact that he respects or she respects their body and respects other people's body develops an overall mindset of respect. How, ask yourself as an audience member, as a listener, if I learned respect for my body, my mind, and my soul, and I incorporated all of those into a school system, what would our classroom look like? Mm-hmm. You know, if we were going to Tower Gardens, which is one thing I'll get into later, or we're going into a garden and we are picking our food, and the process of, you know, step by step, what does this lettuce mean? What will this lettuce do for my body? The science of it. The time it takes to nurture and feed these plants and then put them into your body the way in which God designed us to eat. How would that affect a child's mind? What would it do? You know, just think about it. Think about how big that is in your head and how rare it is you see in schools.
Yeah. In something I have to bring up is I'm not American. So when I first came here, we weren't used to, I guess, things being put into foods because the chickens were much bigger and and the stars, because we, the way I grew up, you know, if we wanted chicken, we would go to the, like, the market, then we'll get the actual chicken, or we'll have like a goat and then it'd be out there. But it was interesting just to hear that there were things injected into that. I don't really know a lot about that. So how does that impact the health of children and us as we grow older?
Well, I want to give credit to this amazing documentary because most of my facts are coming from that for this. And it's a documentary I'm super passionate about. It's called What the Health. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. And they talk about meat and they talk about how meat affects your body. And they talk about how your body was not designed in the first place to be eating meat. Mm. I don't think in any part of life there should be a cold turkey type of, what's funny, I'm saying cold turkey, but you know, there shouldn't be you can't do this ever. Just know that your body, like with this chicken, it's getting injected with stuff. I don't even want to talk about that because our body wasn't even designed to break down a chicken without the injection. Mm. If you look at our teeth, right, we have straight teeth. We have teeth to eat plants. Some people go, well, we have incisors, right? Look at the bottom of your teeth. There's not a little indicator to hold those incisors. We are not designed to eat meat. Our body literally does not know what to do when animal products are put in our body. Now, given the fact that that is a big, big change for most Americans, you can just incorporate more plants into your diet. And so in these, when you're coming from, you know, you're from Nigeria, my family's all from Norway, that's my heritage, in Poland, and meat was a big part of their life. But I think more talking about how could you incorporate more plants into your diet rather than talking about the negativity of removing animals, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I can see it. That's reframing in such a way. So then if we're speaking on reframing, how can we incorporate more fruits and vegetables? What are the best ways? And how much fruits and vegetables do we need on a daily basis anyway?
Yeah, it depends upon where you are in your life. There's kids, right? Kids, I always recommend 7 to 10 servings minimum. And think about that in the morning. Let's go through a day for a child. So they get up, mom, going to school, awesome. Most of the time, the kids I have in my classroom have cereal, right? Maybe they have an apple. Okay, let's say they're lucky enough to have an apple. They get to school, you have to have, you know, 2 servings of fruits and vegetables on your plate at a lunch, right? So now we're at 3. And then now we're going to a snack, usually it's some type of a carb, right? And usually not fruit because it's done really quickly. You come home for dinner, you maybe have a side of a vegetable. So now we're at 5, right? Maybe 6. That is on a good day. That's on a school day. You need to have 7 to 10 vine ripened, nutritious, good, organic, non-GMO fruits and vegetables. I hope that's what you're getting, but the likelihood of that happening for a child is very rare. I mean, it's economically really tough to do that. And you have parents who are working jobs, and then they themselves are creating this blueprint for the child to see what it's like to be healthy. So an example I use sometimes is, imagine a child who sees his dad wears hat backwards all the time, right? He's wearing his hat backwards. So then this child starts wearing his hat backwards. All he knows is what he sees his parents do. So what if his parent started to put fruits and vegetables in his mouth? Do you think that child would replicate that? Vice versa. What if the parent was having a Slurpee? Do you think that child would then start having Slurpees? But then to go into an adult, right? To go into what an adult needs, it depends upon the type of athletics that you're doing. Like a athlete needs to have 17 to 23 fruits and vegetables, right? Because they have something called oxidative stress. It's good stress on your heart, and it's good for your body to work out, but you need to replenish your organs and your bloodstream and all of your vitamins in your body, you know, that you would get from food. So you need more. A regular adult, I would say 12 to 15 would be like a safe bet, you know, like average. I would always recommend more. I'd do at least 20 a day.
20 fruits?
And vegetables a day. Yeah.
Let's just clarify. So when you're saying 20 fruits and vegetables, are you saying one orange, one grape, one mango, and that's 3, and then you have like 5 broccolis.
How difficult that is? Do you see how difficult that is, how expensive it is?
I mean,
I went to a double graduate program and a master's program, and I was luckily on scholarship, but I had to live off of that, and it was difficult. So I have different vehicles that I use to get that into my body that, you know, after this talk, if anyone wants to reach out to me to hear about it, they're welcome to, but for me, that changed my health. You know,
right.
I have quite the story about how my health has changed due to whole food nutrition. And it's just amazing, profound.
And the reason I brought that up is because that that's why supplements exist, right? Or something like that, or all those things. Trying to think of that. Yeah.
That's why supplements exist too. You have to look at the context of a supplement. You have to look at the context of the research based upon the supplement. You have to look at the drive behind the company. Is the company trying to make money, or is the company trying to change the community? Mm-hmm. Is the company have personal experiences based upon that? Do the experts who are talking about the information given actually knowledgeable about it because of experience? Because we're in an information age, right? So information has the ability to transform your thinking. But what we want to create, what I want to create, is an experiential standpoint where you create access to wisdom. There is so much information. How much of information is wisdom from experience, from actually dealing with it, from actually having studies about it that not only benefit your body, but now you're so moved that you want to help other people?
Yeah. And even I did some research. You sent me some things ahead of time. And one of the things that, you know, taken into effect the amount of veggies and fruits that go into your body, whether it's with supplements or whether it's with you actually doing it, you know, going out to the store and getting them, is that it does impact you throughout your life cycle. Pregnancy, for example, healthy skin, your gums, reduces, you know, the oxidative stress, right, which you were talking about. So it's interesting to see how when we go about our life the way we go about it in such a fast-paced world, we do actually are operating on less than our peak potential.
Correct. You know?
And that's an interesting way to reframe it, because I think a lot of times when I'll say this in the past when I've heard this, I'd be like, oh, whatever. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm fine. I'm healthy. What do you mean? But what you're saying and what research is backed is that our body can be optimized in an even better way. And if we are not doing that to our kids, we are actually depriving them of their potential, which is an interesting thing to say to a parent or to an educator or to the whole system. And because no parent or brother or everyone wants to feel like they're doing that to the kids. But when you break it down that way, you can see how that impacts, you know, people's cardiovascular health and supports, you know, healthy growth.
What I really liked you said was when a parent doesn't want to do that to the child, but that's the difference between information and wisdom. If a parent is given information, like you could go to the Barnes and Noble and read 20 books on nutrition. If you give that parent wisdom, experience, this is how I feel. I think I'm fine as I've been working out my whole life. Maybe the parent was an athlete in college. And then you experience what it's like to be on whole food nutrition, to have fruits and veggies, 20 fruits and veggies in your body. You don't ever go back. It's a very simple example. If you always get B's in your life, you're only used to B's. Once you get an A, you never want a B because having an A is freaking spectacular.
Right? Well, yeah. No, I love the analogy. Okay. So this is, I want to put a pause here because this has been very, very informational. I want to dive into you. Okay. You, what is your personal story with this? Because I know a little bit about it, but I think the audience will be inspired to just know how you came to this realization because you've gone through a lot in your life and then you had to make a change.
Right. I grew up, in short, very, very healthy. You know, I had fruit, like I think we had 27 like fruits, trees or plants in our yard. My mom was a nurse and both my parents were athletes. Great life. But when I was about 12 or 13, my hormones changed a little bit. My parents went through a divorce and I started dealing with really, really bad anxiety and depression to the point where like I would go on homeschool. I didn't go to school for a month because my anxiety was so high. My brain stopped thinking about food. I mean, it was a norm for me and I had a definitely positive relationship with food and that food is our medicine, but it wasn't my first priority because I was in survival mode, right? So I was dealing with anxiety and depression and I went off to college. I was getting sick all the time because of my doctor said, because my adrenals were so high, you know, my parents' divorce was extremely, extremely difficult for me. It was 4 years of a divorce. And then I went off to college and my mom worked, you know, my mom was a superwoman. She worked 16-hour shifts, you know, multiple times a week to put not only myself, but my brother and my dad's son, so not my mom's child, through college. And so I had a great example in my life, but I was a victim to fear and I did not want.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
To be that. And I had a really unfortunate situation happen to me in college, and I don't want to create that image in your brain, but it was not good for my mental state. And I dropped out of school, and I was lost. I was really, really lost. And I started seeing a holistic doctor, and that holistic doctor believed in food. You know, she actually showed What the Health before I even watched it 4 years later in her doctor's office. And I started to create this more intense, almost like victor type mentality of how I could do this without taking medication, because they had me at the time, 11 medications for my anxiety and depression. And I hated it. I felt like a zombie. So slowly over time, as I started to get healthier, wasn't doing anything crazy. Like, I was just going to yoga. Like, I would, you know, eat some salads, things like that. And I started to feel better. And time went on, and I was doing better for sure. But I was still dealing with some trauma in my life and still wasn't to the peak that it was now. And about a year into me deciding to be sober, it was 6 months, actually. 6 months. My dad passed away from suicide. And it transformed my life. Once again, going from a victim to a victor mentality. I remember I was in a school, and it was when I was in my graduate program, I saw this poster and it said victor mentality, victim mentality. And we would teach the kids this. Mm-hmm. And it totally just affected me, because at the time, you know, unknowingly, these kids didn't know my, you know, dad had just committed suicide, and it's just a struggle bus to get up in the morning, you know? And for me, I looked at it that way and I said, you know, I'm not going to be a victim to pharmaceutical medications and excuses and needing something or complaining. So I started to get on this health journey, and I met this powerful woman who had this vehicle for me to try whole food nutrition in my life. And slowly over time, it went from, at that time, I was on 7 medications when I met her. And it's 2.5 years later, and I'm on a fourth of a medication. Actually, yesterday, I just told my doctor, like, I'm not taking medicine anymore. And she got up, clapped her hands, started laughing. I actually did an Instagram live on it because I was so excited. And it transformed my life. But it's not just, okay, I go get an apple, or I go and, you know, have this whole food nutrition, these capsules, these things in my body. It's my mindset. It's the fact that I have respect for my body. I trust that God designed me to have fruits and vegetables, because that is how he created the world. And I love myself so much. And because I have such a self-love, I can love others and say, hey, I've been there. I've done that. I don't like it. If you don't like it either, and you want to be open to hearing my story, let me help you. And now I don't have panic attacks. I don't get depressed. I constantly deflect situations in my life that aren't suited for my well-being, that aren't suited for the kids. And I truly believe when I come into the classroom, I am an example every step of the way, from what I eat, from the drink that I bring in, from the water that I drink. I have a gallon water, and on it says, help Miss T drink her water. And they point, and they do a signal, and they help me. And I do the same with them. And I don't bring in food to my classroom that I wouldn't want the child to eat. Mm. And I don't speak about things unless I have specifically, time after time, consistently create an emotional attachment through experiences with food. And that's the only way that I talk. And the only way I communicate with people, because whole food nutrition and a changed mindset changed my life. Yeah. Verbatim.
Wow. No, I love that. Thank you for sharing that story. I have a lot of thoughts to say. So one thing, you brought up whole food. There's for those that are not in America, there's a chain called Whole Foods. And while the intention is great, I've noticed that their prices are way higher than your regular. So I always say this to people. I know people in low income areas who would rather be healthy, but I'm thinking about their grocery bills, and they're like,
yeah, financially, well, it's difficult.
Yeah, it is.
I one time were a client, I told her, you know, you need to get in this many fruits and vegetables. I went to the store with her, walking down the aisles, we were getting it. It was $147, right? And I said to her, I will buy you your groceries, but if you want a different solution, for $5 a day, I can help you, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'll sponsor your child for free. And then I'll come into your school and get people to write grants for your school so the kids in that classroom can also do it.
Yeah.
Because I love them. Because the excuse of finances should never, ever be an issue. Because food will decrease over time. Ability to have to go to, and like your ability to have to go to the doctor. You having to take, you know, immune system strengtheners like Airbon, or, you know, all these things in stores that are going to, that stuff costs, is expensive. It's like $9.50 or $9.75 here in California. It's expensive. So if you invest in your nutrition now, imagine what your what you're preserving your body to fight against, because it's so strong. They're like, oh, okay, sickness. Oh, no, thank you. And pushes it out.
Yeah. And that's where you come in, right? That's a lot of what you do. You help people really just plan out their lives with that kind of stuff, because I'm telling you, I know this for a fact, and I do a lot of volunteering, and you've just expressed that it is a point of concern, but you're saying you can help sort of just organize that schedule. Now, if the people want to do that for you, with you, they can email you. Is that correct?
Or you can email me. I actually prefer like face to face, but I know I'm in California and there may be other people who aren't here in, you know, Sacramento, California. So yeah, reach out to my email. Definitely. I'd love to share the studies that I have on kids' obesity. Mm-hmm. I'd love to sponsor your child. I'd love to come to your schools and meet you in, you know, Skype or FaceTime or talk on the phone, because my job is to love on people and create community. And the only way I can create community is by communicating.
Love that. And your email address is what?
KatrinaErikaThompson@gmail.com. And I'm sure you'll post it in the link, but all of the C sounds are K's. So Katrina starts with a K and Erica, there's a K in it, E-R-I-K-A.
Now, is that a Scandinavian thing, or is that a just Western thing? I don't know. I can never tell. There's a Catherine, Katrina. Yeah.
my dad's name, it's funny you said Catherine, but my dad's name was Eric, and so my mom named me after my dad. My dad and I had a very, very special bond. So it's actually really cool I'm named after him, but she made it a little unique with this very, very cool to me, because I'm definitely a unique and different person. And they were going to name me Catherine, but my mom wanted, again, me to be unique. So she did Katrina.
Love it. Now, this is a cross-cultural show. A lot of times we talk about the cross-cultural elements. You say you've got strong Norwegian. In fact, I think you're entirely Norwegian, right?
I'm Norwegian and Polish.
Norwegian and Polish.
I look very Norwegian. There's no one that ever goes, hey, are you Polish?
and for those, the reason why she says she looked Norwegian is because, what, you're 5'11 and you're
6'1.
Sorry, she's 6'1. and blonde.
Yeah.
Blonde hair. And so I guess that is the stereotypical. Is that what they always say? Scandinavian? Sure. I used to live in Sweden, and that was, people used to say that was a stereotype, but I've met people.
My eyes are Scandinavian too. So like Scandinavian culture, their eyes are usually different colors. So I have like hazel green, blue eyes, and they change based upon the colors because of how our body and our genes are.
Nice. Yeah. So growing up, did you come here straight from Norway, or were you already?
No, I was born in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
My dad was a rocket scientist out there, and my mom was a flight nurse. They met at a local bar, and they said, hey, baby. And they
said that way, hey, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever go back to – have you ever been to Norway, actually?
I have not. It's actually a goal of mine. When I turn 30, I'm going to take a year hiatus, and that's going to be one of my stops for sure.
I love that. It's so interesting for me, because – I think one of the things that America and actually the world is that it's really this melting pot of cultures. And sometimes it's a tossed salad where there are many people with different backgrounds. And I'm always fascinated by how people come to live here. And it's another reason that I always bring that up is because a lot of times when we get into this debates about, you know, you're not, this is not your land, or where you're from, or the immigration, things like that, I often wonder if people do realize that a lot of the people came from from another country. So it's always a nice way for me to just know more about people's background. I think it humanizes people and it draws potential points of connection. So yeah. You know
what's great about what we're talking about is food is food. So regardless if you're in Nigeria or Norway, a banana is going to be great for your body in Norway or in Nigeria. So let's all eat bananas.
Let's eat bananas. That is, if there's anything you take from this podcast episode, folks, it's let's eat bananas. Okay. Yeah. All right. Another thing that I want to talk to you about before we wrap up is, I hear a lot about diet culture. And you're in California, you're in LA, where a lot of it is, there's a juice, there's a new cleanse, there's this, there's that. And I see the backlash, and I understand the backlash, honestly, because it always seems like there's a new diet, there's a keto diet, there's this diet, there's that diet, there's this diet, and I've seen the negative effects on people where sometimes it makes it look like they can't keep up with the trends. And if they're not keeping up, it affects their mental psyche. What is your opinion on quote unquote diet culture?
Okay, so diet culture is a temporary fix to a long-term problem, right? Mm-hmm. A diet is a temporary fix. Why not develop a mindset and a way of life that can bring you over time, that can keep you over time? Like imagine a car, right? There's a car and it needs quality gas and quality oil. That's how the car runs. So eating food is like gas for your car. You need food in order to get your car running. But quality oil, and let's put in whole food nutrition, right, will give you over time the best quality car. You put crappy oil in your car, yes, it will run. Will it run at its optimum? No. So a diet, right, you can do a diet. Over time, though, is it sustainable? Like a keto diet, for example, I've tried it. I don't like it because my blood pressure that I was on medication for went way up because it puts a lot of stress on your body. Now do it for 3 weeks and lose those pounds that you want to lose. Awesome. Over time, though, investing in that, you're not investing in your entire life. Like whole food nutrition, you can do till you're 100 years old. Mm-hmm. It'd be good because it's good quality oil for your car, right? It's okay. Good quality for your life. So yes, do a diet. I have no like anything, any type of way of feeling that about a diet for temporary fixes. I don't want temporary in my life, right? Mm-hmm. I want sustainable. I want easy and I want simple. I eat fruits and veggies. I get great results. Awesome.
Well, you heard it from here first. She wants she wants sustainable results. She doesn't want a temporary fix. Yeah. Okay, so what about your shred? I heard you're doing a shred. Is that still going on?
Yes, we do shreds every month. Do it with a team. And basically, it's a 10-day kickstart. Anybody can do anything for 10 days. But this is the thing. Everything that you do during this 10-day kickstart is what you would do for the rest of your life. That's what I do in my life. At first, I did it for 10 days. And then you know, one of the things is no processed food. Sometimes that's really difficult for people. But for 10 days, you can do it. Just see how you feel after 10 days and then make adjustments, right? Make adjustments to your life. You drink more water during the shred. You get more physically active outside and you eat more plants. It's super simple. But the thing is with the shred, you have accountability. You have daily check-ins with me. You have hangouts, going to the grocery store. If you live by me, I'll FaceTime you during your grocery shopping. It's support. It's a community, right? It's the respect that I want you to be successful, the trust in me that I will get you to it, and the ability to accept my love in your life.
Love it. So, all right, well, you heard it here first. If you want to take advantage of the shred or you want just a plan and you know, a guide to action on what you need to incorporate into your daily diet, you know, KatrinaErikaThompson at gmail.com?
Yes.
Yes, email KatrinaErikaThompson at gmail.com. And every C sound is a K. I'll put that in the show notes. But I'm tremendously grateful to you for coming on here. I always ask my guests one question, though, and this is the final question.
Yeah.
It's this. My mission statement is use your difference to make a difference. So how do you, Katrina, use your difference to make a difference?
I use my difference in my life and my experiences and my fears and my victim mentality and all my struggles to associate with people on theirs and say, I did it a different way than probably a lot of people in our world, but it worked for me. And so I watched a show called a TED Talk by Brené Brown, and it's called The Power of Vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's very different to be vulnerable in this world, right? It's different to show up with your full heart open, your shoulders open, saying, hey, I'm here. This is who I am. This may be different to you, but let's figure out how we're the same, right? So you create a sense of wholehearted love and belonging, which is a statement she says a lot. And I think being different makes the biggest difference in people's lives because then they can emotionally identify with you that, hey, I'm not so alone in this world. Hey, I have this in common with her. She looks totally different from me. She acts, she does, whatever she does, but we have that emotional connection to help each other. That's why God created our ability to communicate. Animals can't talk. God gave us this great gift for us to communicate with each other. Why is it that we don't allow ourselves to do that through vulnerability?
Right. And so you use your difference to make a difference by essentially being yourself and being authentic and being vulnerable.
Yes.
Wow. There we go. Katrina Thompson, ladies and gentlemen, we've just been talking about the importance of food into your diet and just how important it is to your actual overall health mentally and physically. I just want to thank you for coming on the show. This was I thank you for educating me. I didn't know.
Yeah, of course.
Said. Yeah, appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.